book of Luke. Luke 15 this morning. This doesn't happen very often. But I woke up yesterday morning, and when I woke up, I'd been praying all week. And when I woke up yesterday morning, God gave me the message for today. I'm talking point for point. Amen? So if you don't like it, you take it up with God. Luke 15. You'll like it. I'm sure it'll be a help to you. Amen. Luke 15. Very familiar portion of Scripture. Some of you is probably already going in your mind. He's talking about the prodigal son. And Luke 15, and I want to call your attention to verse number 11. The Bible said, and he said, that's Jesus, he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the father said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now the elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing, and called one of the servants, and asked what these things meant. He said unto, he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. He was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Father, as we come to your word this morning, we're thankful for a perfect word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the good singing we've already heard. It's prepared our hearts and stirred something inside of us about the goodness of the Lord. And we're thankful for your goodness and your faithfulness and your love and your mercy and your grace and compassion towards us. And I pray this morning, Lord, as we gather together, Lord, if there's one here this morning without Jesus Christ, you know the need of that heart. You know that individual need. And I pray, oh God, that you would convict and draw sinners to your son as only you can do. I pray, God, for the backslid, those that are saved, but they're away from God. They're not where they need to be. God, I pray for them this morning. In Jesus' name, have your will and way, and all that's said and done, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' precious and mighty name, and all God's people said, amen. In verses 1 through 3 of our text, you will find that Jesus is speaking to a group of publicans. He's speaking to publicans and sinners, the Bible said, but the Pharisees and the scribes are listening in. And the Pharisees and the scribes, you can see in verses 1 through 3, the Bible said that they're murmuring about how Jesus, and they said, that he receiveth the sinners. I just want to stop, pause, and say, I'm glad this morning that Jesus receives sinners. Amen. I thank God for January the 10th, 1999, where he came by Fishersville, Virginia, and he said, hey, sinner boy, I'll receive you if you'll receive me. I'm glad this morning to tell you that if you're lost and you're undone, you're away from God, he wants to receive you this morning. And that's what was going on in here. And then I'll just give you this as we're going. If you look in the story at the prodigal, what we call the prodigal son who went away, he's a picture. He's really a picture of the Gentile nations away from God. But he's a picture of all of us as sinners, how we are away from God. And he's a picture of specifically the sinner who realizes that they're lost and away from God. Well, that older brother, I've heard people try to make him look out in a positive. There's nothing good about that older brother. That older brother is a picture of a self-righteous Pharisee who thought he didn't need to be saved, thought he had it all together, thought he'd never done anything wrong. And he didn't realize it, but he was at home as lost as his brother. And listen, there's a lot of people in our churches like that. They're self-righteous, and I'll just throw that out there. There's a lot of people in our church pews, and they got it all together on the outside, but on the inside, they're full of dead men's bones, and they're lost, and they're on their way to hell. And you don't need religious this morning. What you need is Jesus this morning. Amen. And Jesus tells this story about a certain man who had two sons. And the Pharisees, the religious crowd, they looked down on these publicans. They looked down on the sinners. You know, they were religious and they had it all together. They thought they were better than the publicans and the sinners, you know. Oh, they're another class. They're not as good as us. They're the ones that come in church and think they got it all together. Their suit's just right. Their hair's just right. They got their Bible up tight. And they think, oh, I didn't sin this week. Who are you trying to fool? I mean, who do you think you are? Hey, listen, that's the Pharisees. That's who Jesus is being murmured by. And they're ridiculing the Lord Jesus. And Jesus told three parables. I just read one of them, but he told three parables in this chapter. And these parables, they emphasize the desire that Jesus has, that our God has, his desire and his interest in the publicans and the sinners, the common people, those who are lost and undone. And Luke 15, it's a story about how God wants to redeem and to restore the lost. And we see here all throughout this chapter at least seven times the context of these parables, at least seven times, we see that the context is about things that are lost. In verses 4, he uses the word lose and lost, talking about the sheep. And then in verse 6, he talks about the lost coin. In verse 8, the word lose. In verse 9, the word lost. In verse 24, the word lost. In verse 32, the word lost about his son. And in verse number 17, he talked about how he was perishing with hunger. You say, well, you're saying, preacher, I'm saying the context throughout this chapter is of a lost man. And Jesus is showing the importance of lost people to him, how he has a desire for lost people to come to God, for lost people to be saved. I know it's been applied to the backslider. There's good application to the backslider. Have no problem at all, because I want to say that if you're saved and if you're away from God, God's interested in restoring to you and bringing you back to where you need to be. Galatians chapter number 6 is still in the Bible. Hey, it said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. I'm glad, listen to Jeremiah chapter number 18, hey, that the potter didn't throw the clay away when it was marred, but he took that clay, and the Bible said that he molded it and he made it again a new vessel. And if you're away from God, backslid, God wants to do that for you today if you'll come and you'll confess your sins. I'm telling you, he's still faithful, and he's just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So if you're saved and you're not where you ought to be, you've been wandering away from home, you can come home today. And if you're lost and you've never known God, and listen, you've never been saved and you've never been redeemed, I'm telling you, God's saying to you, come, come, come. So I want to preach on that thought this morning. Come home. Come home. Jesus told these three stories, these parables. He used three different lost things to describe man's lost state and God's desire for mankind to be restored from his lost state and to be saved, to be found. I like that phrase down there in verse, I believe it was verse number 27, where he said his son, he said he was safe and sound. Amen. I'm glad I'm safe and sound. Not just saved, but I'm saved, safe, and sound. Amen. Notice this. In verses 4 through 7, Jesus talked about the lost flock. He talked about the sheep that was lost in verses 4 through 7. And then in verse number 8 through 10, he talked about some lost finances. He talked about a woman who lost a piece of silver. And in verses 11, 32 through 32 in our text, he talked about the lost family. He talked about the son who was lost. In all three cases, I'm glad to tell you, in verses 6 and 7, 9 and 10, and 24 and 32, you'll find that there was joy and rejoicing over that which was lost being found and being restored. That's a picture of salvation. And the Bible said there was joy in all three cases. The only person who didn't have joy was that older brother who was a Pharisee. He was the self-righteous. He's sitting back there saying, well, you didn't do that for me. It's because he never realized and accepted the fact that he was lost and received the salvation that he needed. And I'm telling you that if you see somebody in the church that can't get excited, it can't get joy in their heart when somebody's getting right with God, people's getting saved. If you can't get joy in your heart, you're either severely backslid or you're lost yourself. Amen. That's good preaching, preacher. Thank you. Notice some things. There's always an opportunity to be found. For that which was lost, if you're lost, you can still be found. Oh, yeah. Hey, the shepherd left at 99 and he went after one. There's the opportunity. There's always the offer. In Genesis chapter number 7, the offer when there was going to be a flood, God told Noah and his family, he said, come into the ark. Come. In Matthew 27, he said, come ye all that are heavy laden. And he said, I will give you rest. Revelation, the Bible, and in Revelation, the invitation, the Spirit and the bride say, come. There's always the offer. And I say this, there's always the open door. Until you close your eyes in death, if the Holy Ghost of God comes by your way, knocks on your heart's door and speaks to you, hey, he's saying, come, come, come. I want to focus on that lost son this morning. I want to talk to you just for a few moments about the lost son. I want you to notice this morning the father's eagerness. The father was eager to have his son. I'm talking about the son who had despised the father. The son who had not only said, Daddy, basically what he said, I wish you was dead. I wish I had my inheritance now. Give me what's coming to me. And then not only that, he said, I'm leaving. He said, I got what you gave me. And I'm out of here. And he left. And the Bible said he went off to a far country. And the Bible said he wasted his substance down there in righteous living. He spent his money on the harlots and the sinfulness of the world. And the father the whole time had an eagerness, had a desire for that son to come home. I want to say to you, it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, God wants you. God wants you. You say, how do you know he wants me? I'll tell you how I know. Because Romans 5:8 still says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying God wants you so much that he sent his own son to Calvary to die on an old rugged cross, give his life, shed his blood, so that he could take the righteousness of Christ and put it on your account. And he would take your sin. I'm telling you, he's eager. As far as he'd wandered, I don't have time to go into all of it. But listen, that old boy got down to a place where he's down there and he's down there eating with the hogs. Understand how the Jewish people, they do not get along with hogs. I'm talking about that was a bad thing. That was like a curse. And he's down there, he's eating the husk and he's down there with the hogs, slopping in the hog pit. And the Bible said he came to himself. Verse 17. In verse 17 and 18, we see a picture of conviction. We see how the boy comes under conviction. He comes to himself. He realizes that, hey, back yonder at daddy's house, he's got servants that got bread and to spare. And here I am perishing with hunger. And he says this. He said, I'm going to go to my daddy. And I'm going home. I'm going home. What are we seeing? We're seeing a picture of his conviction that brought him to a place of repentance to where he decided to go to the father's house. I want you to notice something. When he went to the father's house, the father hadn't changed. The father was still there. The father was always the same. The father was where he had left him. Notice his daddy's response, though. The son here is typical, I told you, of a lost sinner. It's a picture of you and I. It's lost without God. While that father is a picture of our God in heaven. And I want to see the response of the father when the son comes home. I want you to notice a few things with me. Come home. That's my message this morning, come home. When this old boy came home, I used my spiritual sanctified imagination, if you will, and I could just imagine that when he came home, there was a sign in the yard that said, "Come home, son, come home." Maybe all up and down the lane, there were signs that said, "Come home." Maybe even put it in the newspaper, "Come home." Maybe took out an ad on the television. I don't know. "Come home, I want my boy to come home." You say, "Preacher, you don't know that." I'm just using a little imagination trying to get you to see that daddy had a desire. He was eager. He wanted his boy restored and saved, safe and sound. Notice some things with me. In verses 21 through 22, when the boy came home, I want you to notice this. He found that the father was waiting, number one, to forgive him. Number one, he found that the father was waiting to forgive him. Understand now, this boy has taken his inheritance. Basically, he did. In his day, he said, "Hey, Daddy, I wish you was dead. I want what's coming to me." Daddy gave it to him. And then he took it and he left. And then not only that, he went down there and he wasted it. And then not only did he waste it, but he ridiculed and he despised everything his daddy had taught him, running around with the hogs and the harlots. Then he come home. No wonder he said, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." Look in verse 21. He said, "Father, I have sinned." You see, that's what it takes for you to be forgiven. The Bible said if we confess our sins, you're going to have to confess it. That's what it's going to take. Hey, listen, the Bible still says that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You confess. And watch it, verse 21, he said, "I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But I want you to notice the father. How did he find the father? How do you know he wanted to forgive him? Well, he said that the father was looking. You say father was looking? Yeah, the Bible said he was a great way off. You see that? The Bible said he was a great way off. A great way off. Look down there in verse 20. When he was a great way off, his father saw him. How did he see him when he was a great way off? I'll tell you how. Oh, Daddy must have been perched up somewhere looking down the road. It's the day. I've been wanting my boy to come home. He's been gone. He took everything I own. "Hey, honey, I think I see some dust coming down that old dirty road. I think I see the dust kicking up. I think I see..." And the Bible said he saw him. You know why he saw him? Because he was looking. Hey, I'm glad when I wasn't looking for God, he came a looking for me. I'm telling you, when I was lost and undone without God and his son, I'm glad he reached down. Hey, a whole lot further than I could have ever reached up. And I'm here to tell you this morning that if you're lost, he's looking for you. He's looking for you. Hey, the shepherd is searching. The father is looking, and he's looking for you. He's looking. Not only did I see that he was looking, but I see he's loving. Look here in verse 20. His father, a great way off, he's running, here he comes. And he had compassion. He had compassion. That idea of compassion is that he fell in love with his son. I'm talking about he's moved. The Bible said about Jesus, another place said he was moved with compassion. Because he saw the people as they were sheep having no shepherd. I'm talking about compassion is more than saying, "Hey, I love you." And compassion is more than patting you on the back and saying, "I'll do anything for you." Compassion is going out of your way to make something right. Compassion is going and doing. Compassion will move you to action. Yep. A whole lot of people can sit there and say, "Oh, I love you, I love you." It's a matter of compassion to do something. The Bible said he was looking, he was loving. He had compassion. And I see this, I see that, not only that, I see he was laboring. Now listen, this is a picture of God. He's looking for the lost. He's loving the lost. For God so loved the world that he gave, there he is, moved, he gave his only begotten son. But I see this, he's laboring. Notice something very interesting right here. He had compassion, and notice this, and it said, and he ran. Do you see that in your Bible? Now this is a picture of God. This is the only time in your King James Bible that you'll see that God ever ran. He ran. You know what happens when you run? You have to put forth some effort. When you run, you're laboring. I mean, when I'm running, I'm laboring. I don't know about y'all. I'll be honest with you. If you see me running, you better run because something bad's coming down the road. About the only time I run is when my wife says, come here. The 58th time. Here's a picture of God. Hey, looking, that daddy's looking down the road and he sees his son. He sees his son. He sees his son. He's looking. He had compassion. And he ran. I don't know about y'all, that's about all I can do running. Dressed like this anyhow. Brother Darren, I'm glad he ran. Do y'all see that? Do y'all get the picture?
Yeah.
He's doing something he didn't have to do. I mean, he could have disowned that boy. I don't want nothing to do with him. He despised me. The Bible said not only did he see him, not only did he have compassion, but the Bible said he ran. He put forth that. You say, what do you get out of that? I'm glad God went out of his way. He didn't have to go to Calvary. There didn't have to be a hill called Calvary. There ain't no hill. I don't care if it's a hill or a bump on the road. Amen. There's a cross there. Hey, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to send his only begotten son. Jesus didn't have to die. He did it because he loved you. He was moved with compassion. And he ran. We see the Father run. And what's the next phrase that say? It says he ran. And then it doesn't stop there. It says he fell on his neck and he kissed him. Come here, John Michael. I need your help. Come here. Hey, go down there to the back door. Run. Run. Go to the back door. I want to give you an idea. Now watch now. John Michael's the son. And he's been out in the world. He's done wasted everything. I gave him everything I had and he wasted it. Are you listening? He's been in with the harlots and the hogs. He's done everything I told him not to do. And then some. And now he's out of money. He's out of friends. He found out his worldly friends didn't need him when he didn't have nothing they needed.
Right.
And he says, I'm going to daddy. He's the only one I know can help me. And he's coming down the road. He's coming home. And daddy sees him. And daddy takes off running. Keep walking. Son. And daddy runs. And daddy sees him and comes to him. And he falls on his neck. And he kissed him. You know what that kiss is? That kiss is grace.
Yes.
That kiss is a picture of the Father's forgiveness.
Yes.
That kiss says, son, I know you went out there. I know you've done everything I told you not to do. I know you wasted everything I gave you. I know you've ruined and wrecked your life, but I still love you. You're mine. You're mine. Come home, son. That's a picture of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You don't deserve to be saved this morning. I don't deserve to be saved this morning. If I got what I deserved this morning, I'd be in hell frying like bacon. I should have been deep fried. But thank God I got justified because Jesus was crucified. Amen. Thank God. Hey, you don't deserve to be here this morning. You deserve to be in hell. But God in grace and mercy came by your way. Look down where you was, saw you. He came to you when you couldn't come to him. You wasn't even wanting to come to him. You wasn't even trying to come to him. But he came your way.
Amen.
And he kissed you with grace.
Hallelujah.
And forget, hey, the Father was waiting to forgive his son. Number two, he was waiting not only to forgive him, but to favor him. Favor him. You know, there's a lot of people got this thing all mixed up. They think when God saves you, that's the end. You come down to an altar or bow down in your wherever you're at, ask the Lord to save you. That's not the end. That's the beginning. You're born into a family. Being born again, not a corruptible seed, but he said, by incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth. What are you saying? I'm saying you're being born again into a new family. A baby don't die when it's born, hopefully. It's the start of a new life. It's going to grow up. And you parents, when you had them babies, how many of you, when they came home, you didn't give them nothing? Not feeding them, not giving them no clothes. Don't want nobody to know their mind. No. No, when that baby's born, you're going to spoil that thing rotten. Amen? You go feed it Similac as long as you have to, and then you're going to be giving it Snickers bars and T-bone steaks and milkshakes and oh, yeah. As long as that baby's in your favor, you're going because it's yours. I'm talking about you'll start out with them little shoes that, I mean, wouldn't block a rock. Y'all know what I'm saying? And next thing you know, you'll be spending $100 on Nikes. Because they're yours. Because they're yours. You know what that daddy did? That daddy said, my boy, come home. I'm going to forgive him. And he said, now I'm going to favor him. Another one, he said, I'm going to pour it on him. I'm going to pour it on him. I'm going to show him some good. Watch that verse 22. Verse 27 said, hey, remember that boy said, now I'm not longer worthy to be called your son. He said, I just want to be one of your servants. But verse 22, watch it now. The father said to his servants, bring forth, watch this, not just the robe, the best robe. Hey, that robe I got hanging up for special occasions. You know that royal robe that I got in there? I mean, talk about that one that's all decked out. I'm talking about that robe of righteousness that don't nobody get to wear but my son. He said, go back yonder and get the best robe. Not just the good robe, not just the robe, but the best robe. You say, what's that robe? Hey, that robe's a picture of the righteousness of God. Hey, when you come to God and you're a sinner, the Bible said that he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That we, us, lost people, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He takes our sin, throws it to the side, puts it on Jesus, takes the righteousness of God off of Jesus, and he clothes us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, you want to look it up. And he clothes us in the righteousness of God. Listen, if you could see you the way God sees you, you'd have a shouting fit right now. I'm talking about you get plumb Baptist, whatever you want to call it. You think I was calm and I was of a laid back manner. If you could see you the way God sees you. See, your problem is you see you the way that I see me. And the way that I see you somewhat. And see, I see you, man of flesh, you know, here we are. But when God looks at you, he's not looking at you for what you're sitting right there. When God's looking at you, he's looking through the blood-stained glass of grace, amen. He's looking through the blood of Jesus, and he sees you as the righteousness of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Y'all don't have to get excited about it or nothing. We go around now. I know this is a common phrase. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Hold on, you was a sinner, but when you got saved and you saved by grace, you're now a saint. I understand there's still the possibility of sin. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying in God's eyes, positionally, hey, you are a saint. You're his child. You're a son. Whew. He gave him a robe, the royal robe, the best robe. And then he says this. I like this. He said, bring not only the best robe, he said, put a ring on his hand. What's that ring? That ring, that's a sign of, hey, you're in the family. That's a seal. Hey, that right there is a seal of the completeness of this transaction. Hey, son, you want to know I forgive you? I'm giving you the family ring. That family ring is like the family signature. You put your signet on it, your initial. Hey, that's my boy. He's got the right to be in his family, and he put a ring on his hand. He said, you can go down there and make transactions because you got the ring. You got the family ring. Hey, you're mine. It's a picture of the perfection and the completeness of the Father's love, his forgiveness, and his acceptance of his son coming home. And then he says this, hey, not only am I going to give you a new wardrobe, not only am I going to give you new wealth, he said, but I'm going to give you a new way to walk. He said, put some shoes on that boy's feet. Y'all see that? He said, he put shoes on his feet. He gave him a new wardrobe. He gave him a new wealth. Now he's giving him a new walk. He said, what's that, preacher? Titus 2 says, the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men. Titus 2:11. But verse 12 says, that same grace is teaching us to deny ungodliness or worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, I'm going to be all right when I get to heaven. Wait a minute, he's given us grace to save us, but he's given us grace to live for him. And I'm telling you, if you've ever been saved, hey, listen, if you'll come this morning, you say, preacher, I'd get saved, but I just can't live it. Welcome to the club. If you could live it, you wouldn't need Jesus. But you need grace, just like I need grace, just like everybody in here needs grace. Don't think you're some lowlife because you need grace. No, you need grace because we're all lowlifes, to be honest. We need grace. So he graces me and he saves me. And then he says, hey, if you're going to live for me, I'm going to have to just keep throwing grace on you. And he just keeps giving us grace. Grace to walk right. Grace to talk right. Grace to live right. Messed up, preacher. He'll give you grace to clean you up. He gives you new shoes, new walk. His favor is unearned. His favor is undeserved. His favor is indescribable. His favor is incomparable. His favor is irreplaceable. But I'm glad this morning His favor is undeniable. It's undeniable. You, listen, if you know what I'm talking about, if you've been saved, you cannot deny that God has been good to you. God has been good to you. Now, notice this. I got to hurry. I might lose y'all on this point. He was waiting to forgive him. He was waiting to favor him. And he was waiting to feed him. He was waiting to feed him. I like it. Verse 23. Watch this. He said, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. Y'all vegetarians, excuse me for a second. God said it's all right to eat T-bones. You know what it said? Hey, I mean, just put it down here in Walnut Cove English. Go make that cow turn into ribeyes. Amen. Put it on the grill and let me know when it's done because we're going to eat and have a good time. That's what he said. He said, bring that fatted calf. Steph, you're going to have to get in on it. Bring that fatted calf, kill it, and let's eat. Kill it. What are you saying? Wait a minute. Let's stop. Think about that, son. I don't know how long his son was gone, but he was gone long enough to waste everything he had and make a wreck of his life and gone long enough to realize that daddy was the only place he was going to get any help. And you know what happened? You know what happened? When he got there, I can imagine. I'm going to use this a second. I grew up, we had some cows. I got to use this a second. Oh, geez. I can imagine that daddy had a stake over and he had a cow roped off. Let it be my cow steak. And he had that thing roped off, and he had a cow over there, a calf. And he said, I'm going to raise that thing, and I'm going to feed that thing, and I'm going to fatten him up, because one day I believe my boy's coming home, and when my boy's coming home, I'm going to feed that boy some T-bones, because I'm going to be happy to see him.
Amen.
I ain't giving him no salad, no pasta. No rice. We're having steaks. My boy's coming home. Y'all all right? We wasn't eating no Nutella, whatever that junk is. Steaks. Man, I'm glad this is in the Bible. Hey, he said, bring that fatted calf, that one I've been saving. I just believe that old daddy, he'd been saving that one right there. That's the one I'm waiting for my boy to come home. Hey, let's just give this to some of you parents. Y'all ought to just throw up a cow and fatten that thing up and trust God that your kid's coming home. Hey, you know what's going on? Daddy had prepared for this day. He was looking forward to it. This is going to be a feast of celebration. You know what? When you get saved, God gives you what you need. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And in Hebrews, over in Hebrews chapter numbers 5 and 6, he talks about how we need meat. The meat of the Word. God gives us the Word of God. It might come in your daily reading. It might come in somebody testifying. It might be coming through your Sunday school teacher. It might be coming through the preaching. Hey, but God gives you the Word of God. And that Word is what's going to help you. And by the Word of God coming into your life, the Bible said, hey, that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And your faith grows because you got the Word of God. And you're continually adding and adding intake. God is giving you the nutrition that you need. He wants to feed you. And then watch this. Not only does he want to forgive you, favor you, and feed you, but he wants to fellowship with you. Amen. I could go all the way back to Genesis and talk about how that Adam, the Bible talked about how the voice of the Lord would come and would walk with Adam in the cool of the garden. And then that fellowship was broken. And then God, in Genesis 3, God killed some animals and God went to Adam and God clothed Adam with coats of skin. Adam and Eve. And we come over here to the Father. He said he's going to have a time not only of a feast, but he said a time of fellowship. You said, what was they fellowshipping about in verses 23 and 24? He said, bring the fatted calf, let us kill it and eat. He said, and be merry. Hey, be happy. Happy. When people get saved, you ought to be happy. When you think about, hey, I remember the day when the Lord saved me. It ought to put a smile on your face. You can be going through the worst day of your life. I'm talking about fighting hell by the acre, and you can remember that day that the Holy Ghost came your way, introduced you to Jesus, and I ought to put a pep in your step. Hey, listen, a note in your song. I'm talking about, hey, something to be in you riled up, stirred up, put a shout on your lips, because you remember the day that God saved you and turns your life around. The time of joy and gladness when the son came home. The father was merry, and he wanted everybody else to be merry and rejoicing. And I say such is the case. Verse 24, this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost. Like that past, he was lost and he is found. And they, watch, not only he, but they began to be merry. Y'all catching on that? I ain't going to read the rest of it again. The only one wasn't happy was the Pharisee. That's self-righteous. I ain't never done nothing wrong, Daddy. I've been here all the time. I'm just like, he's the only one wasn't happy. God's not, hey, listen, God doesn't desire to condemn you. A lot of people got a false view of God, and they think God's up in heaven just waiting to zap you. Now listen, God doesn't condemn you. You condemn yourself. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:17 says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So what's going to take me from being condemned to being saved? You're going to have to believe on the Son of God. You're going to have to believe on the Son of God. Because God wants to save. God has done everything in his power to save you. But he's not going to override your will. Hey, the Bible said that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, that some men cannot slack, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's his will. That's his desire. He wants you to be saved. He wants you. But he's not going to make you. That's why he tells you to come. He's telling you to come. Come. And if you do come, you'll find there'll be joy. In verses 7, 10, and right here, hey, you'll find that there's joy over one sinner. Not over 99, but over one sinner that repents. When one person, hey, Brother Cal, hey, when one man comes down and says, I need to get saved, hey, God gets happy about it. Amen. God gets, you say, how you know God? He said in the midst of it. Look back down there in verse number 7. I said to you, likewise, joy should be in heaven over one sinner that repents in heaven. And then verse 10, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels. Notice it didn't say that the angels was rejoicing. It said that there's joy in the presence of the angels. And if I know anything about my Bible in Revelation 4 and 5, the angels are round about a throne. And in the presence of the angels, in the midst of those angels, there's one sitting on the throne. And the one sitting on the throne is the Lamb of God. And the Bible said there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying when a lost sinner comes to Jesus, hey, Jesus gets happy about it. He wants the fellowship. He wants that fellowship restored. Turn around and come home. No wonder Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear my voice and open the door, Jesus, listen, he said, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. In other words, he said, we're going to come in, we're going to have a good time of fellowship. A good time of fellowship. Janice, if you want to make your way, I got an illustration and I'll be done. Years ago, there was a minister. In the olden days, he had left a revival. He had just finished preaching in the Midwest city. He stepped onto the train, and he was going to make his way back home. And he sat down, and he found himself on the train. He found himself seated beside a young man. And the minister wanted to pass some time. And just to pass the time, he tried to start up a conversation with the young man beside him. And as he tried to start the conversation, he noticed he was getting no response. There was no answer. So he looked at the young man and he says to him, son, I'm a preacher. I'm a minister. He said, I don't know what you're going through. He said, but I'd be glad to help you in any way I can. Once the young man began to cry, tears began to run down his face. And he proceeded to tell his story. He looked at him, he said, preacher, he said, a couple years ago, I got so bad at home. He said, I got so mean. He said, my mom and dad couldn't do anything with me. He said, one day I got so far, went so far and so bad, he said, I actually hit my dad with my fist. He said, my dad looked at me and he said, son, he said, I hate to do this. It's going to break your mama's heart. He said, but we need you to leave. We want you away from here. Get your stuff and leave this house. He said, preacher, I've gone all over this country from town to town. I've wandered here and there. He said, about 3 weeks ago, he said, I gave my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. He said, I wrote my mom and daddy a letter. He said, I don't even know if they're still alive. I don't even know where they're at. I hadn't heard nothing from them. He said, but I wrote them a letter. And he said, I told them I'm going to be on the train today. I wanted to come home, and I was heading that way. Preacher said, son, that's fine and dandy. I'm glad to hear of what you've done. He said, but how are you going to know that you're welcome when you get there? How are you going to know that mom and daddy want you to come home? They told you to leave. He said, well, preacher, he said, all our life we've lived in a house over here right on the side of these railroad tracks. Little old white house sitting over here on the hill. He said, behind that house there's an old apple tree. He said, and I wrote in that letter, and he said, I told my daddy that if I'm welcome when I get home, for him to take an old white rag and to tie in that apple tree. He said, I said, Daddy, if you'll forgive me, and if I'm welcome, just put that rag in the top of that tree so I can see it when the train passes by. Amen. And I know that I need to come. Amen. He said, that's going to be my signal, preacher. He said, but preacher, I'll be honest with you. He said, I'm hurting so bad. He said, I don't even want to look. He said, preacher, would you do me a favor? He said, it's going to come right up here on the side. He said, it's going to be a little white house with that apple tree. He said, would you watch? And he said, would you look and tell me if there's a white rag? And preacher said, son, I'd be glad to help do that. The old preacher reached over and he began to wipe on the window so he could see out the window. As he began to glare out the window and began to look, he had a great big smile come to his face. He said, son, I believe you're going to be all right. You can relax. He said, preacher, really? He said, yes, sir. He said, I got to tell you, son. He said, that apple tree is in full bloom. Amen. He said, I ain't never seen so many rags tied in one tree. And he said, that ain't all. He said, on the side of that tree, he said, there's a white-haired man and a white-haired woman with a big old bed sheet. And it's painted on that. It says, welcome home, son. Welcome home. You say, why you tell me that, preacher? Because I'm telling you here this morning, doesn't matter how far you've gone, don't no matter what you've done, don't matter where you've been or who you've been with, yeah. Hey, there's a God in heaven, and he's got his arms open wide, and he's saying, come on, come on. Come on!
Amen.
God wants you this morning. And the welcome home signs up. And the question this morning is, will you come home? Maybe you're lost, never been saved. Will you come home? Maybe you've been saved, but you've wandered. You hadn't even been in fellowship. You hadn't been where you ought to be. You've got away from God. And he's saying, come home. Come home. There's a God who wants you. If you're wondering, you're wanted. If you're wondering, you're welcome. Would you please come home today? Father, take the message. Use it according to your will. Bless in Jesus' name. I pray amen and amen. We're standing all across the auditorium.